The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 30th through Sunday, November 5th, 2023. The commentary for October was written by Catherine Nishibayashi, a fourth-generation member of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Los Angeles and a graduate of the Church Divinity School of the Pacific. The commentary for the month of November was written by Scott Robinson, who has performed as Renaissance Fairs at Renaissance Fairs, taught college music, and written for newspapers. He worked as a hospice chaplain for 5 years and has been a professed member of the Third Order of St. Francis, a religious order within the Episcopal Church since 2001. He lives in Philadelphia. The commentary for Monday, October 30th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. If you enter the sanctuary of my church through a side entrance, you'll pass through a black metal gate that can be closed to separate the sanctuary from the rest of the building. While it may have been used a long time ago, it predominantly serves a decorative function now. The Greek letters for Alpha and Omega are embedded into the design of the gate. I imagine the long-ago designer wanted those letters to be visible as people entered or exited the church. The Alpha and Omega serve as a reminder that God is the beginning and the end, present always, both inside and outside of the church. And now I'm going to read from the full verse of Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 20. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the words of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke unto me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Now write what you have seen, what is, and what is to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." And the moving forward question for this Monday, October 30th, is what signs and symbols are on your church doors? Check them out the next time you attend church. The commentary for Tuesday, October 31st, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 8. "Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some of a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Today's reading from Matthew is the parable of the sower, which talks about scattering seeds and seeing what happens. Some seeds fall on bad soil and fail to grow, while other seeds fall on good soil and thrive. Sometimes, though, it takes a long time to see the effects of the seeds that have been planted. This is a helpful analogy for me when I reflect on my career as an elementary school teacher. As a teacher, I planted seeds of learning in my students. I have been lucky enough to maintain contact with a few of my students and their families and see how those seeds took root in their souls and helped them grow into the people of God that God has made for them. But for most students, I will never know which seeds brought forth grain and which fell on fallow soil. The gift God does give us is not certainty in the outcome, but the honor of laboring together in the field." And now I'm going to read from the full passage for today, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, is there a particular teacher who planted seeds in your life? Take time to reach out and express your gratitude. And now let's turn to a new month, to Wednesday, November 1st, the Feast of All Saints. We'll begin with a passage from 1 John chapter 3, verse 2b. "When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is." When we see the great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and when all the angels fall on their faces before the throne, we shall be among brothers and sisters, the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted and reviled, and we shall rejoice. And when we see the risen Christ, we will not notice differences among nations, tribes, people, or languages. It was necessary that the historical Jesus be limited in these ways, or he could not have lived a human life and died a human death, for we human beings are likewise limited. We will see the risen Christ as he is, and as we become more purely ourselves, we shall know that we are like him because he is like us. And we shall, as Psalm 34 says, look upon him and be radiant, and let not our faces be ashamed. And now I'm going to read from the passage that we just referred to from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I'm also going to read from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10. From 1 John, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. And now from Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him, and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried, and I was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And now the moving forward question for this Wednesday, November 1st, All Saints Day. How do you envision the risen Christ? Now the commentary for Thursday, November 2nd, which, by the way, is All Souls Day, a day we celebrate and commemorate all the faithful departed. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 23a. The one who hears the word and understands it bears fruit and yields, in one case, 100-fold, in another, 60. Van Gogh produced more than 30 drawings and paintings of a sower. In one of the more famous renditions from 1888, the sower is several yards away, broadcasting seed in the glare of the spectacular midday sun. 2 years later, he painted another sower, but in this iteration, the subject is off-center, the point of view so claustrophobically close you can see individual seeds drop from his hand. Near the center of this tensely balanced picture is a leafless, severely pruned tree. On December 23, 1888, Van Gogh suffered his first epileptic seizure, and subsequent hospitalization. The painter was pruned by this debilitating attack of illness, and it shows in the latter picture. Gone is the straightforward composition, the radiant sun. Here is someone ravaged by life. Perhaps those who misunderstand, have no root, or are burdened with worldly cares, are being pruned. Perhaps, like this latter sower, they are in the shadow now, but the spring will bring a harvest of winter wheat. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And the moving forward question for this day, what new growth awaits you? Now the commentary for Friday, November 3rd. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 30b. Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. I wish I weren't so defensive. I'm confident God didn't plant that. It took a lot of therapy to figure out how it got planted. I wish I weren't so envious of the success of others. I'm pretty sure God didn't plant that. How much would it harm me to tear it out now? I wish I weren't so dependent on what others think of me. I know God didn't plant that. Do I really have to put up with it until the harvest? That barn sounds like a peaceful place of quiet joy and freedom, even if the burning of weeds may be difficult at times. And now I'll read from the full passage of Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And the moving forward question here is, what weeds need pulling? Which weeds are actually flowers? And can you discern the difference? Now the commentary for Saturday, November 4th, continuing with the same theme. This is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. A mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. I'd been edgy for weeks, and my family was suffering. Then one Sunday, I became teary while hearing this parable. Why did this passage, which I had heard many times before, have such a powerful effect? I had begun a new hospice chaplain job and was about to interview for another. I still had not lost the weight I'd put on since my second spinal surgery and was frustrated with the painfully slow pace of physical therapy. I'd been struggling to reestablish my physical and spiritual exercise regimens, reclaim the weed-choked flower bed, and many other things. Suddenly, I knew. I'd been trying to build a tree for myself when what I needed was to plant a seed and trust God that it would grow, to cultivate it one day at a time, rather than trying to force it all into existence at once. The trees we build for ourselves may stand up, but they don't grow. They don't make good signs of the kingdom, and they certainly aren't hospitable to those who perch in our lives. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and through verse 35. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, November 4th, is, what seeds has God planted in you? And now we reach the end of the week, Sunday, November 5th, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. The commentary for this day begins with a passage from Micah in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob and chiefs of the house of Israel, who harbor justice and pervert all equity, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. They all seem like isolated decisions. A church locks the doors, keeping out desperate hurricane refugees. A community makes it harder for people of color to vote, or ban books by and about them in our libraries. We allow the income gap between rich and poor to grow ever wider. Over time, we have become a city built with blood and with wrong. We proclaim ourselves a Christian nation so often that it doesn't seem possible that God could be looking upon us with anger. We lean upon the Lord and say, "Surely the Lord is with us. No harm shall come upon us." When harm does come, when all the rapacity and greed and bigotry and hatred catch up with us, will we repent even then? I'm going to read the entire passage from Micah chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against those who put nothing into their mouths. Therefore it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without revelation. The sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob, and chiefs of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. Its rulers give judgment for a bribe, its priests teach for a price, its prophets give oracles for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, "Surely the Lord is with us. No harm shall come upon us." Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountains of the house a wooded height. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, November 5th, does this meditation make you uneasy? Does it make you angry? Spend time reflecting on your response. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, the founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.